Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Outpost Church Ministries and Pastor Philip Gonzalez. Our mission is to drive back the darkness by helping people flourish for the glory of God. And we hope this message helps you do just that. We'd love to get to know you, so visit us online at outpostchurch.org to find more ways to connect, give, and grow. And remember, you matter to Jesus, so you matter to us. And if you're in Christ, then you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
So a few days ago, I was at Starbucks, like I often am, and I was chatting with a friend of mine who was a barista there, and we were chatting about a mutual acquaintance. And they said this to me. They said, "That's cool that you're reaching out to them, but be careful because they have a pattern." They said, "It's cool that you're wanting to befriend this person and be an influence and a blessing in their life, but be careful because they have a pattern of receiving all the help from people and then turning right back around and ruining their life." Again, I wonder if you ever known a person with a pattern. Well, actually, here's the thing, though. I have a pattern of my life. And the truth is, you have a pattern in your life, too. Why? We all have patterns. The question is, are they helpful or are they not? Are they patterns that are lifting us up or patterns that are dragging us down? And here's what I found out about patterns, right? Last week, we talked about position. We talked about this idea that our heart position is so crucial when it comes to growing in our relationship with God. And we talked about this idea that position is about tuning your heart. What I want to explore together tonight is about tuning our habits. Because see, I found this out. If you're taking notes in a program guide, you can write this down. Your patterns determine your progress. I wonder how many, by a show of hands, how many of you have heard the phrase, "practice makes perfect"? Heard that before? Right. Have you discovered that that's not always true? In fact, I have a friend of mine who's a very successful businessman, and he has some good patterns in his life. Some not so good ones too, you know, but some good ones. And he taught me this. I learned this from him. He said, "No, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent." So for instance, when I was a boy, my father tried to teach me a few tennis lessons. I didn't do well because I didn't want to get up that early. I wanted to sleep in, not go to the tennis court at 6:30 in the morning, right? But I remember him teaching me. He said, "Look, you've got to get your hand correct. If you don't have the right motion, you won't get the right power." And see, I could practice all I want, but if I'm practicing the wrong pattern, I'm not going to make any progress. And so the same thing is true in our spiritual life. In fact, here's the big idea that I want to explore together tonight. If you're taking notes, again, write this down. If you want a better pattern, you need some better practices. Practices. Tell somebody nearby, you got to practice. You got to practice. Now, as a quick review, we're in a series called Closer, How to Grow Deeper in Our Relationship with God. And we've been exploring this idea that any healthy relationship is going to be made up of at least three specific elements. And here's what they are. The element of affection, right? That's a feeling for someone. Knowledge, right? Knowledge about someone. And action, because it makes no difference how you feel and what you know if you don't do anything about it, right? Love requires action. So we've explored that. And the first part of this series really was three messages where we explore these three things. Here they are. We talked about how to have greater affection for God. And so the first one, we talked about three keys to greater affection for Him. And that is simply enjoy God's presence daily, experience God's power personally, and embrace God's purpose consistently. In fact, if you see someone with a, Bob, would you help me with something? Would you be my favorite person for a minute? Could you just stand up for a second? Stand up. If you notice on the back of Bob's awesome shirt, what do we have there? We have presence. That's looking up. We have power. That's looking in. That's purpose, looking out. Give Bob a hand. Thank you very much, Bob. Such a good model. Oh my goodness. So we talked about that. Second week, we explored this. We talked about three kinds of power we can experience ourselves. You can go back to the previous slide, please. Three kinds of power. We said there's exceptional power that we can experience. That's the miracles that God does. And man, I've been privileged to see and experience miracles in my life. and in the lives of others. We found out about eternal power. This is salvation. That don't discount that the mighty power of God, he poured it into your life to rescue you from sin, Satan, death, and hell, and to spare you from the wrath to come and welcome you into his family. That's power, man. That's his eternal power in salvation. And we also found out about the thing that I find is certainly most helpful for my life, and that is his effective power. It's about having progress. That's about the Holy Spirit giving you the strength you need to do the things you must when you don't think you have it in you. Good news is, if you have the Holy Spirit, you do have what it takes to walk in that kind of power. The third week, we talked about this. We talked about three levels of purpose for our lives. We found out that God has a global goal. We called it his preeminent purpose. According to Scripture, the number one thing on God's mind is the rightful display of his glory. We found out that one of the ways he does that is, number two, his people's purpose, that he sent Jesus to redeem a people for his own possession, and that as his people, we would display his glory through what I called restorative reconciliation, reconciling people to Jesus and restoring creation to God's design. And we found out as well that there is that my mission and your mission is our personal purpose, and how we each have ways that God has gifted us and called us to help us participate in his kingdom calling and in the global goal of bringing him glory. We found that out. Then we moved to part two. And in part two of this series, we talked about the knowledge of God. Next slide, please. And we said, how do you know God? Well, there's three simple steps to grow in your knowledge of God. And we said, start with the book that he wrote. We said, it's very simple. Study the Bible for yourself. We said, learn from anointed teachers. And we said, compare notes with others. And then last week, we discovered three elements of a productive position. And we said that if you really want to know God, stay in a good position. And we explored how to have an open mind by cultivating humility, how to have an open heart by cultivating trust, and how to have open hands by cultivating obedience. And it's that last part. When we talk about obedience, it's not about sporadically forcing ourselves to do the right thing. It's about cultivating healthy habits in our life. And that's what I want to explore together tonight in a message I want to call Practice Your Patterns. Practice your patterns. Tell your neighbor, practice your patterns. Practice your patterns. Because if you want a better pattern, you need some better practices. Practices. Here's the theme then for tonight. It is three powerful practices for a deeper knowledge of God. And you may say, Pastor Philip, did you work extra hard to make sure every single message has three something or other? No, it just happened that way. I just literally think that way. It just comes out, right? So, yeah, it's my Baptist roots showing. Shh. All right, here's the first thing. If you wanna have a better pattern, you need some better practices. Here's the first thing we want to practice together. Here's what it is. It's the practice of consistency. Everybody say consistency. If you're taking notes, write this down. You're only as healthy as your habits. You're only as healthy as your habits. A few years ago, I had a friend who was a personal trainer. His name is Steve. Some of you know Steve. Really cool guy. And I remember talking to him one day, and I said, hey, talk to me. You know, we're building muscle. We're working out. Talk to me about what exercises do I need to do to lose weight? And he said, losing weight has almost nothing to do with your exercise. It's about your eating. And I was so unhappy to find that out because I don't want to change what I eat. But I found out. Here's what Steve taught me. Now, Steve was a ripped dude. Anybody know Steve Jalbert? Right. He's a ripped dude. Like, he's a bodybuilder. I don't mean he's like a bodybuilder. I mean, he's like a bodybuilder. He is one. He competes and he wins. So he knows what he's talking about. But here's what I found out from Steve. You can't expect a ton of progress in your health if you're a weekly workout monster in the gym, but you're a daily cookie monster in the kitchen. I fall into the latter category. I'm just going to be honest about that, right? Right. Why? Because you're only as healthy as your habits, and consistency is key. Now, talking about eating, here's the thing. I love to eat, but I'm not a gorger. I never go to Golden Corral because it's a waste of money for me. I get one plate, and I eat it, and I'm done. How many would agree that's not a good deal at Golden Corral to get one plate, right? That's not why you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. But I'm not a gorger. I'm a grazer. I need that steady stream of calories. But I found out that so many times in life, we'll approach our spiritual life as if we are gorgers. Like, we want to come once a week or less, and we want to just fill up and then go the rest of our week or 2 weeks or whatever it may be and think that's going to coast us through. But that's not how it works. Well, we need the regular receiving of the nutrients of God. And so this idea of consistency, the goal isn't to load up once a week, it's to top up every day. And there's a person in the scripture who knew all about that, and his name was Daniel. And if you have a Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. And this is a story maybe you've heard before in Sunday school or somewhere else. It's a pretty common story. By the way, Daniel is one of the prophetic books. So in the middle of your Bible, the Psalms and Proverbs, after that, you can jump forward and you've got Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Isaiah, Ezekiel. I know this because it took me forever to find this earlier today. I practiced, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, there we go. Ezekiel, you're turning with me. Nope, just kidding. Lamentations is after Jeremiah. I did this with my wife nearby, and she said, "Don't you remember your Awana songs?" And I say, "Honey, that was 3 decades ago." No, I don't. All right, Daniel chapter 6. Now, here's what you need to know about this story. Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. How many have heard this story before? Yeah, Daniel, many of us have. So here's what you need to know about this time, though. So this story takes place at a time of great national transition. See, the Median-Persian Empire had invaded the Empire of Babylon, and they had taken over. And they had sacked the government, and they had taken over in a coup d'etat and lots of bloodshed and all sorts of horrible atrocities, which we won't get into because this is a family-friendly church, right, most of the time. And yet, it was a time of great transition. And it was an interesting moment for Daniel as well, because most scholars believe at this time he was about 80 years old. And what we're going to find in this story is a man who's been faithful in times of ease and in times of hardship, in times where things were well to do, in times when things were lean, in times when he was well regarded, and in other times when he was under the boot of oppression. Daniel was consistent in his life. Jump right in, Daniel chapter 6. Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including, what's his name? Daniel! Side note, his Babylonian name was Belteshazzar, but it's way easier to say Daniel, right? Like, who's going to name the kid Belteshazzar? Like, that's a terrible name. I don't know. So there we go. These satraps would be accountable to them, so the three guys, including Daniel, so that the king would not be defrauded. Apparently, in this time, there was some corruption in government. I mean, I'm glad we've totally moved beyond that, but yeah, we're not. So Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. Listen, you need to know that if you're part of God's people, God has put an extraordinary spirit in you. And if you're walking in that spirit, people are going to notice. Things are going to happen. I don't mean you get everything you want and your life is peachy keen and roses, but it means that you're going to make an impact wherever you go, because the Spirit radiates out of you, and you are, and we could say you're an outpost of the kingdom of God. Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. It goes on. The administrators and satraps, so the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and the satraps, therefore, this is verse 4, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. By the way, can we turn the lights up, the house lights up a little, please? Thanks. So then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." Pause there for a moment. You realize this means that Daniel had a reputation. Have you found out you don't get a reputation when you do things sporadically? Well, actually you do. You get a reputation of being sporadic and inconsistent. But Daniel had a reputation for his relationship with God because he was consistent. Everybody say consistent. He was consistent. And so his enemies knew this was how to get it. So the Cliff's Notes version, because you're probably familiar, the administrators go to the king and they say, "Hey, king, you should pass a law that says no one's allowed to pray or petition anything from anyone except from you." And I remember I used to read that and I thought, for him to agree with that, hello, ego. Like, who do you think you are? Like a pharaoh or something, right? So that was not actually uncommon in this time. But I found out there's actually another reason where it wasn't really a bad idea. See, remember that I said earlier this was a time of transition for the empire. The empire of the Medes and Persians had taken over the empire of the Babylonians, who themselves were conquerors. And what you have in this place then is a multiplicity of religions that were all being practiced in different ways. And so for a king to say, listen, worship your own gods, but funnel your prayers through me as the priest, was actually not a bad idea to ensure national unity and to bring people together in this kind of new empire. It wasn't a bad political move. We'll find out, obviously, it was a bad move for Daniel, though. So the king makes the law and the bad guys find out. I was reading and I thought it was so funny because verse 10, I'll just read it and I'll comment. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, saying you can only pray to the king, he went into his house. The windows in its upper room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed and gave thanks to his God just as he had before. See, Daniel had cultivated the practice of consistency. And even when the tide turned against him, he wasn't going to be shaken. Even when the wind was blowing against him, he wasn't going to be turned from what he knew was right. And it was because of that consistency that Daniel had the kind of connection with God that produces miracles. In fact, we could say it this way, if you're taking notes, your level of spiritual consistency determines the strength of your spiritual connection. And Daniel was consistent. And Daniel kept it going. And Daniel knew that if he was going to remain strong in his faith, if he was going to remain close in his relationship with God, if he was going to remain connected, then he needed to be consistent. And I wonder, for me and for you, what are we doing to be consistent? Is that a practice that we've cultivated? Now the rest of the story, perhaps you know it. I love how in verse 11 it says, then these men went as a group and found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. You got to get the picture of these guys like peeking around the corner. What's he doing? I don't know. Get out of the way. Let me look. Okay. Oh, he's praying. He's praying. We got him now. Right? So they go to the king and they tell the king, hey, listen, king, didn't you say? Yes, I did. Well, this guy, oh no, that's not good. So you probably know the rest of the story. Daniel gets thrown into... That's right. And the king is not happy about this. Verse 16, the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and put over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep. With the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, the king said, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Now, I don't know what kind of person Daniel was. I don't know what kind of personality type he was, if he was to take one of those little chart things. Like, I wonder if, like, maybe Daniel just kind of just waited a minute before he answered. Like, just like kind of mess with the king a little bit, like, lions, be quiet. Let's see how long before he freaks. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he just spoke right up. I think it would have been hilarious, but I wasn't the one in the den, right? So all we know for sure is that at some point, whether immediately or whether after having a good laugh, verse 21, then Daniel spoke with the king. May the king live forever. Common greeting in this time. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king. Then the king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, uninjured, for he trusted in his God. And as a footnote to the story, in case you thought maybe the lions just weren't hungry that day, The king then gave the command, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den, they, their children, and their wives. Not cool, but not uncommon at this time. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. The end. Let's pray. Right? It's such a gory story. But the point of the story isn't the gore. The point of the story is the God who rescued his servant. But not only that, it's a story of Daniel being consistent in his faith that strengthened his connection. So he knew that whether he was delivered by a miracle or whether he was delivered into eternity, it was going to be okay. And you can have that same confidence. And you can have that same assuredness in your life when you realize that your level of spiritual consistency determines the strength of your spiritual connection. So be consistent. Be consistent. Tell your neighbor, be consistent. And you can see great things happen. Now, I found out for me, as someone who is more on the creative side, I am not always consistent myself. So I found out that for me, I can be more consistent if I have someone counting on me. If you ever found that to be true for you, workout buddy, running buddy, a study buddy, muddy buddy, whatever your buddy is, right? So I realized this, and so I actually started something. Some of you know this. Next slide. It's called, very cryptically, Let's Read the Bible. And what we do is at 7:30 every morning, we read the Bible on Facebook Live. You can go to fb.com. Yes, that actually works. fb.com or facebook.com/Philip Gonzalez. And at 7:30, I'll be on there and I'll just read a chapter of the New Testament, share some thoughts on it. Some people comment on it. We have some great times commenting. And that's really, it's not necessarily a way to bless others. It was just a way to get me out of bed and reading because I knew people were going to be disappointed in me if I didn't. Because I know that I'm not always consistent, so I need people to help me. So if you would like to partner with us in that, hey, log on Facebook, 7:30, or you can watch the replay later if you want to sleep in. And yes, every now and then I accidentally oversleep and then it's late. But hey, can I be human too? Okay, thank you. Yeah. If not, you're in the wrong church. All right, talking about consistency. Say consistency, because you're only as healthy as your habits. Number two, we're talking about how your pattern determines your progress. And we're talking about how if you want a better pattern, you need some better practices. Here's the second practice we can cultivate to grow deeper in our relationship with God. It's the practice of curiosity. Curiosity. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And here's the idea. It's that the greater your interest, the greater your inquiry. It's good to be intentional about stuff. But it's also good to find things that are interesting. Have you ever discovered that you notice things that you're interested in way more than you notice things about which you just don't care? I'll say it this way. I've noticed in the past several weeks, there are a lot of Honda Pilots and Toyota Highlanders on the road. Did you know this? I'm pretty sure that they didn't just magically appear starting 2 weeks ago. I think it's because I started to do some research on a larger vehicle for my growing family, and it's because I started paying attention. I was curious. I was interested. Well, it's like, poof, more and more Highlanders and Pilots are showing up. And so there's a Highlander from you, and there's a Pilot from you. Yeah, good stuff. There's actually a term for this. Does anybody know the term for this? It's called pink Cadillac syndrome. It's a documented thing in psychological research. So if you think about pink Cadillacs, you'll be amazed at how many you see. Now, this is actually a biological function of our brain that causes this. In fact, here's a picture on the screen. It's called the reticular activating system. And I don't know what that looks like to my imagination, but it's supposed to be an illustration of your brain. So we'll just go with that, because I got it on Wikipedia. So the idea is that the more your brain is tuned into something, the more likely you are to see it. And so you find this out with cars and stuff like that. By the way, talking about relationships with people, if you are tuned to look for negative things in someone, you're more likely to find them. And if you're choosing to focus on their good qualities, you'll be amazed at how many there are. Why? Because the reticular activating system will show you what you want to see. And what's interesting then is this has relevance not just to everyday mundane stuff, but even to big picture things. In fact, we could say it this way. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Your curiosity is often a part of your calling. See, there's a reason that I know things like the reticular activating system. I enjoy researching that stuff. That's kind of a clue that I should probably be doing something like I'm doing. Like, I don't look up random facts just to not use them. I'm always looking for things. My curiosity is often a part of my calling. And we see this in Scripture too. If you have a Bible, flip over to Romans 12. Romans, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Rome and the Christians there. And what we find in Romans 12 is a whole list of different ways that God has blessed his people and the ways that we respond to that. But specifically, right in the middle, Paul talks about the idea of spiritual gifts. And maybe you're familiar with this, maybe not. But Romans 12, 4 through 8 goes like this. He says, "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body," everybody say one body, "one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness." See, what's the idea here? The idea is that God has wired each of us in different ways. And often part of how we know how we're wired is what we're interested in. So for instance, talking about things like prophecy or things like exhortation. So when I read the Bible, you know things that stand out to me? Encouraging passages. Like, I just notice them. In fact, I wrote a whole book series called God's Hope for Your Heart based on reading through the New Testament and finding hope in every chapter. One of the reasons I found hope was because I'm wired as an exhorter, as an encourager. Some of you have not realized this. I'm just kidding. It's really obvious, right? I'm an encourager. That's what I do. So I notice things in the Bible that are encouragers. Others might notice things in, say, the life of Jesus, where they'd say, you know, I'm seeing how he's always preaching truth. He's always teaching truth. Well, maybe that fact that you notice that is a clue your calling is more of a prophet or more of a teacher. Others would look at the life of Jesus and say, I'm amazed at how he's always serving people. He's always serving and helping people. And that's a good clue. Your spiritual gift might be service. Why? Because your curiosity is a clue to your calling. But sometimes you won't know what God is calling you to if you're not willing to listen to the little voice inside. If you're not willing to notice when you're reading through something, you're reading the Bible or something or listening to a sermon, and it's like something just kind of goes, bing, huh. So for instance, maybe there's a passage in one of these sermons, and it's a passage, and I've found a point in here to share with you, but you're hearing it, and you actually see something different in that passage. Well, guess what? If you're curious about it, make a note, go home and research it. Like, read it. We live in the age of Google. You can find anything you want, except a parking space sometimes, right? When you really want one, when it's raining, right? You can, if you see something, or maybe you're driving in the car and there's someone on the radio says something and that, bing, it sparks your curiosity. Man, make a note, go home and research that. You know why? Because that could be a way that God wants to speak to you to help know him better. But if you're not willing to go off and explore, you'll be missing some of the things God has in store. A few weeks ago, we went on a road trip. My family and I, we went up to a bunch of places, but we found ourselves in Tennessee, and we found ourselves in this particular nature park, a waterfall park, and there was a regular path, but there was also an optional trail. And they said, be careful, because the optional trail is very difficult, which of course I read as, you got this, dude. I'm like, hey, very difficult. So it was a cool little main trail, but we decided, hey, we're gonna go off on the optional, very difficult trail. And I'm so glad I did. So here's a picture of a waterfall. Really doesn't look that impressive in a small photo on a screen. I took a panorama with my phone so you can actually see the whole thing. Let me just tell you, it was fantastic. But if I'd been so focused on just going through the official trail and getting on with it, I would have missed the great opportunity God had for me to discover something beautiful. And so here's what I would encourage you with tonight. Watch this. Sometimes you need to stay on the path, but sometimes it's good to explore. You may be reading in the scripture and think, man, I don't have time to go and explore this today. Then write it down and get back to it. Your curiosity can lead you to beautiful things, because the greater your interest, the better your inquiry. Now we're talking about how your pattern determines your progress. And we're discovering together how if we want a better pattern, we need some better practices. And we've talked about the practice of consistency. And we've talked about the practice of curiosity. The final one I want to explore tonight is this. It's the practice of critical thinking. Critical thinking. Because the more you know the facts, the more you grow your faith. Faith. I wonder, have you heard the phrase fake news lately? Has anybody not heard the phrase? Here's the thing about fake news. It spreads so well because it tells people what they want to hear. You found that out? So for instance, if I saw a news story, local dog poops in backyard, details at 6. Like, I'm not watching that. I'm not clicking that. Like, I'm not interested. Why? Because I don't care. But if I see, you know, federal government declares all people with last name Gonzalez receive a special $5,000 grant, I might just click on that. Like, hey, can't hurt to check it out. Right. Why? Because it draws me in. But fake news will draw you in because it tells people things they want to hear. It plays to existing biases, and that's how it spreads. I found out that false teaching is the same way. Because sometimes you can get a teacher that tells people everything they want to hear, and he may grow a following, but they're not growing in their faith. And in fact, this is something that the Bible talks about. If you have a Bible, you can turn here or just follow along on the screen. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. The Apostle Paul is writing by the Holy Spirit to this young man, Timothy, who's a pastor, and he's giving him tips on how to lead and things to look out for in his ministry. And he says this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. He says, "For the time will come when they," that is just people in general, "will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to," what's that word? Myths. Myths. And I tell you what, man, Have you discovered that we live in an age when you can find anyone? If you want someone to tell you something about you, you can find it. If you want someone to tell you a truth, quote unquote, that just makes you feel good and you don't have to change anything about what you're doing, like, you can find it. You can always find somebody to back up your own point of view. And Paul is saying, look, as time goes on, more and more people want that. But see, here's the thing about finding stuff that makes you feel good all the time. Feelings are great to finish the house. Think about finishing a house. You got like stucco and stuff like that, right? Some things are great. Feelings are great to finish the house, but they make a terrible foundation. Like, I don't want to get stucco and drywall and put that underneath my house. Why? Because it's not strong enough to hold the weight of the structure that I'm trying to build. And the same is true with feelings. Sometimes people want to hear only stuff that makes them feel good, but I got to tell you that that's not going to be sufficient in the day of trouble. In fact, we could say it this way. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. We'll just do the first part of this. Paul is writing, and he's giving some really quick tips on practical Christian living to the church in the city of Thessalonica. Pay attention to what he says here. He says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." By the way, he doesn't say give thanks for everything. He's saying in whatever situation you find yourself, there's always something to be thankful for if you look hard enough. You may be in a difficult spot and you wish everything were different. If you look hard enough, there's always something to be thankful for. Find it and watch that fill your heart with joy. He says, "Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." Now, I read that and I found it fascinating that he takes two things and he puts them together. He says, don't despise prophecies. Right, sometimes in our modernist culture, right, we're children of the Enlightenment. We like things that are rational and that make sense and you can prove. And so some people will come and will say, you know, we don't believe in prophecy for today. We don't believe in supernatural gifts for today. We think that was back then, but now we have the Bible and we can just do everything with our heads. I don't know if you can do everything with your head. Maybe Rob, he's got a really cool head. I like your head, man. It's good. You too, Rob. Just... yeah, both Robs, good heads. But he's saying, don't despise prophecies. Open yourself up to the reality that God still speaks through his Spirit in supernatural ways. But watch this. He combines that with what? Test all things. Just because someone says they got a word from God doesn't mean it's necessarily true. Just because you think you got a word from God doesn't mean it's necessarily true. Just because someone says they are on a mission from God doesn't mean it's necessarily true unless they have cool hats and sunglasses and suits. In that case, go for it. Right? He says, test all things. We find this also in 1 John, right? The Apostle John writing to the people of God. 1 John chapter 4, the first part here says this. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Some people say, I'm spiritual but not religious. Some people say, you know, I just love seeking out spiritual things. Great, fantastic, wonderful. But don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, to determine if they're from God. Because many, what's that phrase? False prophets. Try that again. What's that phrase? False prophets have gone out into the world. What's he saying? He's saying that just because someone says it doesn't make it so. He goes on and he says, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. What's he saying? He's saying, look, Jesus is the foundation for everything else. And if you want to know if the spirit you're receiving or the word you're hearing or the person you're listening to is really of God, watch how they interact with the truth about Jesus. Watch what they say and watch how they live the way it relates to Jesus. Because Jesus said he is the way and the truth and the life. And here's what I found out about truth. Watch this. If you're taking notes, write this down. If your faith isn't based on truth, then it's not a faith you can trust. So, you know, I have faith. I have faith because I feel in my heart God's love for me. Hey, dude, I'm glad you feel that. That's fantastic. It's good to feel that. But if your faith isn't based on truth, then it's not a faith you can trust. If I have a friend, so I do have a friend. I have a friend who makes furniture. Did you know that? Hand makes furniture out of wood. It's amazing. His name is Ray Patch, and he makes furniture out of wood. Ray, I want you to know this. I would sit on a chair that you made. You know why? Because I've tested the things you've made. I've seen they're true. I've seen the speaker stands you made me hold my speakers solidly. It's good craftsmanship. It holds the weight. Watch this. I will put faith in Ray's furniture, not because I like him, although I do. But I can like you all you want, but I don't care if I like you. I want to see if you're actually good at something, right? I'm going to put faith in Ray's furniture because I know the truth that it's well made. You can have faith in God, not just because of how he makes you feel, but because you've seen him prove himself true again and again. And if your faith isn't based on truth, it's not a faith you can trust. But so what does that mean? It means that when you want to get to know God more, approach him with openness. Trust him. But also, heard this phrase from a book. Sharon knows the book. Trust, but verify. It's not wrong to approach life. It's not wrong to approach scripture. It's not wrong to approach what your pastor says with a holy skepticism to say, that's cool. I'm going to check it for myself. That's good. I'm going to pray about it myself. That's a good thing because it shows that you are building the kind of critical thinking that honors God by using the mind he gave you to discover the truth he wants you to have. I think that's good news. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The more you know the facts, the more you grow your faith. You say, Pastor Philip, I want to get closer to God. Awesome. Study the scriptures. Pray consistently. Compare notes with others. Learn the truth and let that inform your faith because that's the kind of faith you can trust. That's the kind of faith Daniel had, and it saw him through the hardest times. We've discovered tonight this big idea that if you want a better pattern, you need some better practices. So my prayer for me and for you is that together we'll cultivate the practices of consistency, because you're only as healthy as your habits. And we'll cultivate the practice of curiosity, because the greater your interest, the greater your inquiry. And that we'll cultivate the practice of critical thinking, because the more you know the facts, the more you grow in your faith. And as we cultivate these practices, I believe, together we'll grow closer to the God that we love.
Hi friends, Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321 or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.